Elizabeth Elliot says that restlessness makes us cynical. We need certainty, surety, security, and that can only be found in God Himself because He's the one that's in charge of everything. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. As you think about God's unchanging principles for your life, here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking again today with Loveless Howard. That's spelled Lovelace Howard. She happens to be my sister-in-law, married to my brother Tom, mother of two children who are now 20 and 22. You've been telling us wonderful things, Loveless, about how to help your children to learn to pray, and I've been particularly impressed with the lessons that you as a mother have learned through praying with your children. There are many parents, I'm sure, who feel as if they don't know how to find the words for prayer. What would you suggest?
Jesus' disciples asked him how to pray, and he seemed happy to give them some help with what we now call the Lord's Prayer. That's a good place to start. It covers everything. And the Psalms, I have found, are full of wonderful prayers. What about this one for a prayer with a child? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I think that's a wonderful example of the kind of prayer that is based on a presupposition, a prior commitment to God's will, and a basic trust in His love. That's what I would call a reasonable request.
Can you give us the reference
yes,
for that?
Yes, it's Psalm 139. And Psalm 19 is a wonderful prayer for sending a child off to school in the morning. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Not to mention the mother as she starts her day. The Psalms are full of prayers.
That's Psalm 19.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Any other sources of written prayers besides the Bible itself?
There's a wonderful tiny book that looks like it's for babies, but it's for all of us, by Tasha Tudor, called First Prayers, and another one called First Hymns. What I like about her First Prayers is it not only has traditional prayers, it has verses from hymns that are appropriate. It gives you an idea of where to look for what for a prayer.
Hymn books, any hymn
yes.
book is going to be full of prayers. We've already mentioned Father, we thank thee for the night, mm-hmm. and Jesus, tender shepherd, hear me. These are prayer hymns, which make it very easy for a child to memorize
yes.
prayers. I've always found it very easy to memorize poetry or hymns. And for parents who really feel very hesitant to pray extemporaneously or spontaneously, mm-hmm. by all means, make use of prayers that others have written and whose words say what you want to say, but you wouldn't know how to say it.
Exactly. Like this one, for instance. Almighty God, you alone can bring into order the unruly wills and affections of sinners. Grant your people grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that among the swift and varied changes of the world, our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found.
Isn't that terrific?
What more could you want for your teenager? And this one. Grant to us, Lord, we pray, the spirit to think and do always those things that are right, that we who cannot exist without you may by you be enabled to live according to your will. Hmm. We had a routine of short family prayers after breakfast. I hesitate to say this, knowing that people don't eat breakfast together, but for us it was wonderful. We had little psalm books. We read 8 verses of a psalm around the table twice, each reading a verse and then around again. Prayers sunk into our children's imagination again, their framework for life, who they knew themselves to be, the interpretation of the world, it formed it all.
Can you think of any hymns in your own life that became
sort of prayers of your life. I think of Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross. That was a hymn that we sang very often in our family prayers. And even as a little child, I loved that hymn. I didn't have the first idea of what it really was going to entail in my mm-hmm. life, but it's still one of the prayers of my life.
I loved a lot of gospel songs as a child. We tried to teach our children what we considered the good ones as they were growing up. Perhaps I should just say that when they were in the school-aged years, after prayers in the evening, reading the Bible and having prayers, we did sing a hymn or two. We taught them some good choruses, and Marvelous Grace of Our Loving Lord was one that we loved. We tried to teach them ones they were not going to learn in church, but they did love what we would call the magnificent hymns of the church. They loved the measured meter and beat of those old hymns.
Besides using the Bible and Bible storybooks mm-hmm. and written prayers and hymns, did you use any other books in these family together times?
Not to get too far away from the prayer routine, but when they were school children, when all of this had been done, we did read other books that we thought they might not read alone, like Robinson Crusoe and the story of Siegfried and King Arthur, Robin Hood, just a little bit at a time, sometimes paraphrasing and skipping if some of the old ones are a bit wordy. But I remember one summer Tom had read Robin Hood to us, and Charles played Robin Hood all summer long, and they loved the Nordic myths. They didn't come across those much in school. But a word of warning here, once they get to junior high school, even fifth and sixth grade, and homework is lurking, we found we had to give way. It wasn't any fun if they were waiting to get to their homework. And something I didn't mention earlier that I found important is with the regularity, with the routine, we need to have a kind flexibility. A routine that works for preschool children may need to change when the first child starts to school. When the children get older, they're not going to respond in the same way to exactly the same little routine. So I think we have to grow with the children as far as just how we do it. Not having six children, I don't know how myself you take the span into account. But with two or three close enough in age, I think it can be done.
What view would you take of a teenager who says, I'm not staying for family prayers, or I'm not coming anymore?
We never let that happen. We never let it get to that place. When we saw that it wasn't going to work, it was becoming negative rather than positive, we eased up. We thought they've outgrown sitting together as little children, and we let it go. We kept the breakfast thing up, I think longer than the evening one. But one funny thing we did that worked, when the children were certainly high school and junior high, I discovered one of these Bible storybooks I mentioned early on, and I said, we're going to read a Bible storybook again because this is a special one. It puts it in a good doctrinal framework. You haven't read these stories for several years. I don't think you remember them, and we're going to read them. And they laughed at their funny mother, and we read them. And it was fun.
Good.
We also discovered, for instance, that where we had done the talking when they were little, as they got older, real discussions were precipitated. We began to read the pastoral epistles to Timothy and Titus and found that Paul was writing about the very issues that were on our children's plates to deal with day by day. And we had wonderful discussions right out of their school life. So we moved from what was right for little children into what worked much better for teenagers. But we had to be attuned to where they were.
Absolutely. If godliness doesn't relate everyday life, then it's a counterfeit, isn't it? I mean, you've just got to get it right down where the kids live. And I think that this is the great lesson that the parents need to learn and get across to the children, that this whole thing about Christianity, it's not a one-day-a-week kind of thing. but it relates to schoolwork and to getting along with your sister and to cleaning up your room and to being nice to people at the table. Thanks so much, Lovelace, for all this marvelous wisdom that you're giving us about teaching your children how to pray and how to read the Bible.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.